Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Leviticus chapter number 9. It's in the clean white pages in the front of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 9. We're going to begin at verse number 22 and read down through chapter 10, just a couple of verses. We desire your prayers today. Want to obey God? Just give the word as he's given it to us. Pray that it changes us and helps us. Leviticus chapter number 9. Amen. Trying to give you time this morning to get there. I know that's new ground for some. Leviticus chapter number 9. I want you to see the word today, though. So verse 22, look with us. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out, and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. That's all we want to read this morning. Father, open our hearts to your word, as we pray you'd open your word to our hearts. We need it to change us today. Help us to see this truth, to recognize, God, just exactly what you intend and what our responsibilities are. Help us to assume them, be obedient as your children. I pray for the souls that are among us that may need you now. I pray for the invitation that only you can give them. May they find that in an unction that draws them to a point of repentance and belief. Thank you for what you're going to do, as we ask again for your help. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn back just a few chapters to Leviticus chapter number 6. I'm going to share our thought this morning from Leviticus chapter number 6. We'll take what we first read as the platform from which we'll begin, but I want you to think about what he said to the priests in Leviticus chapter number 6 and verse number 13. He said this: the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. Never go out. The first 5-6 chapters of Leviticus are where God gives to the people of God, right? They have wandered in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt. They're wandering in the wilderness, and they get to Mount Sinai. And God speaks with Moses and gives Moses the law. And what we find in all of the Old Testament is that it is a picture of the new. And the New Testament, Christ, always being better than what God had instituted in the beginning. And yet what we find in Leviticus is that place where the Exodus has occurred. And God has given them the law on the mount. That's what happened in Exodus. And then in Leviticus, God establishes what he began at the end of Exodus, which is to build a tabernacle, to build a place where God would come down and join them, a place where they would be able to go and to offer sacrifice for their sins. And we see in the first 5-6 chapters of Leviticus that God deals with the people and what they're supposed to do in their offerings unto God. And then we find he kind of changes there in chapters 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. And he begins to give to the priests of God their duties, their function, their responsibilities as those that keep the house of God up. And I want to say today that we have a responsibility as the people of God to keep the fire burning. To keep the fire burning. That's what he told the priest. Aaron's sons, at least part of them, were responsible. Their specific duty was to keep enough wood cut and to keep it on the fire that was on the brazen altar, which was 5 feet by 5 feet. It was a very large fire. And yet their responsibility was to keep that fire going. Now, God hadn't yet intervened with the fire, and we'll get there in a second. But they had a fire going, and they had been giving burnt offerings. They had been doing sacrifices. And you say, well, where did the burnt offering begin? Well, that began with Adam. Or at least you'll find with Cain and Abel. Remember, the Bible said that when Abel offered up his sacrifice, it was the best that he had to provide, the best of his lambs, and he offered unto God a burnt offering. You'll remember that Noah, when he came off the boat, he created an altar and he offered unto God a burnt offering. Abraham, when he had reached that land that God had promised him, he built an altar and he offered a burnt offering unto God. Wasn't a new concept. They recognized from the very beginning that because of sin, someone had to die. Something had to die, you see. The Bible's always been the same. It's not a new message. You'll find that from the beginning that what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 3, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. May I say to you today that God was teaching them in the very beginning that the price for sin was death. Something had to die. When sin was committed, and friend, we're all guilty of sin, there was a requirement that a payment be paid for that sin. And they would get a turtle dove or a pigeon if you was poor and you didn't have sheep of your own, or a calf, or a ram, or a goat, or whatever it was that he required. He always made a way for those that needed offering. And yet what we find is they had to offer that sacrifice unto God, because sin, friend, has to be dealt with. That was then, and it's still the case now. I'm glad to report to you today, I didn't have to kill a cow this morning. I didn't have to kill a sheep nor a goat. I want you to know that my lamb died for me some 2,000 years ago, and he shed his blood that I could go free. Now that forevermore is the atonement for sin. But here in the book of Leviticus, God was giving them clear instructions on how they were to worship. And that worship required a sin offering. It required burnt offerings. It required peace offerings. It required wave offerings. And then you would get to those that were non-sweet-smelling savors unto God. You would get the meal offering and the wave offering. And when you think about that, you think, preacher, God, he requires a lot of offerings, doesn't it? Listen, to keep you alive, friend, did require a great deal. Amen. God should have just casted us into hell to begin with. But I tell you right now, God made a way for each one of us to have a covering for sin. And in the Old Testament, that's what it was. It was a covering for your sin. Amen. It didn't get rid of the sin, but it was an atonement cover over the sin. But bless God, when Jesus came and he offered himself as the sacrifice, he did more than cover my sin. He washed them away and never to be remembered anymore. Thanks be unto God, our sins are gone. Amen. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But something has to die. I like how, and we'll get to that someday maybe, but I want to touch it in passing. You know, when they would offer that little sheep, the one that was guilty, which by the way was all of us, but they had to put their hands on that sheep. Amen. They had to put their hands on that innocent lamb. That thing hadn't done anything. Amen. It hadn't done anything wrong to them. And yet what they had to do was they had to put their hands on that lamb, designating, see, that I admit I have sinned and I am casting on this lamb my sin, because it will pay the penalty that I can't pay. Thanks be to God, there was one that did that for me. I want you to know that God the Father designated the Son as to be the one that would pay the penalty that the rest of us couldn't pay. Bless his holy name. He died so we can live today. Amen. Amen. We find in the book of Leviticus that all of these things were being taught to the people, and they were also being taught to the priests. And they had a responsibility in all of these offerings,
And almost every one of them had to be made by fire. Not just the burnt offering, not just the sin offering, but every one of those offerings had to be made by fire. They had to put that thing ultimately on that altar that was burning. But the thought I want to share with us today is that we have a responsibility to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. I was reminded as I read about Joshua when there was one of them countries that surrendered unto him. And they begged him not to kill him, and he didn't. They said, what we'll do is we'll serve you. We'll be your slaves. And Joshua said, all right. He said, you can be hewers of the wood. You know what he did? He charged every one of them that offered themselves as slaves unto him to be the people that cut down the wood to keep that altar burning, to keep it on fire. I don't know about you, but I sure appreciate them that have committed themselves to cut the wood. Amen. To be part of, amen, keeping the fire going. Hey, it's our responsibility as the priests of God. We're to keep this fire burning. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't say it once, but I remember when I got saved, that night the fire was burning out of control in this place. Hey, amen. It was in 1976. A bunch of you hadn't even been born, but I was a little 9-year-old boy sitting at the back of this church, and brother, it got wild that night. I remember how them old men and women up there shouting and going on. Hey, amen. I remember them running up and down the aisles and the glory of God everywhere. And brother, I knew there was something happening here, amen, that I didn't really understand. There was a fire that was burning that was starting to touch my soul. And I'll tell you right now, it still takes the fire to get people to God. It takes something, amen, to get you out of that cold place where your heart is indifferent toward God and to draw you to that place where you can be saved. Thank God somebody had the fire burning. Amen. That night I got lost. Thanks be to God. Somebody had kept the fire going in this church. And here we are some 40 years later. And the fire's still burning. Amen. Well, that's what God said. He said, don't ever let it go out. Well, let's start today with whose responsibility it is to keep the fire. Well, the Bible said that he gave that responsibility strictly to the Levites, to Aaron's children. And their sons and daughters, they were to keep the service of the temple. And all the other 11 tribes were to keep them up, but their responsibility was to the house of God. May I say today that you and I have been called to be priests. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Let me read you what the New Testament says. The scripture said in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, and that speaking of Jesus Christ, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, you'll find in another place it calls us a chosen generation, a holy priesthood. May I say to you today, you as the people of God are those that have been called to keep the fire burning in the house of God. Now, you say, preacher, what's it going to take for me to keep the fire burning in the house of God? It'll have to start within you. Amen. If it ain't burning in you, friend, it won't burn in this place. Amen. If you've lived like hell all week long and you've got sin at the door and you ain't repented and right with God, I'll tell you right now, the fire won't burn and you can't make it burn until you get right with God. But oh, there's a fire, friend, that when it starts burning, it changes everything. I'll tell you right now, I'm not in the least bit enthused about coming into a place where there ain't no fire. You can't find what you need, friend. You can speak about the frozen chosen, but I'll tell you what I'd rather see. I want to see them that are on fire for God. Something real in their lives. Yeah, if all you want's religion, join up. There's all kinds of religions out there. And you know what? They're based on work. That's just what some of you are looking for. Give me a list, preacher, and I'll go down the list and check her off. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said concerning them of some of those things, he said they've got the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I'll tell you right now, there's very few things in this world that is as powerful as fire. Fire changes everything, friend. It has an irresistible presence. Amen. We was talking about that this morning. Thank God for that irresistible fire that showed up. Amen. Whenever you see a fire, don't your head just turn toward it. Amen. There's something about a fire. If somebody starts a fire outside, before you know, you got a crowd. How come? I don't know. People like fire, I reckon. But there's something about its warmth. There's something about the glow of it. And there's something about the mystery of it. Because I'll tell you right now, every one of you understand that if you get your hand in it, it'll burn you to death. It'll kill you if you ain't careful. May I say to you today, we need some of that Holy Ghost fire. Amen. And it's the people of God that have to keep it going. Yeah, what the Bible said. I read it to you in chapter number 10 there. Oh, Aaron, he had a couple of boys that must have been a little rambunctious because they started in to do stuff God didn't tell them to do. Amen. Do you know when you act on your own in this church, the fire ain't going to be with you? Huh? Because it ain't about you. And it ain't about your will or my will, but it's about what He wants. Amen. We didn't come here to win a popularity contest. We didn't come here to impress or influence or win friends. I'll tell you right now, if Jesus Christ ain't exalted, friend, the fire ain't got nothing to do with it. It don't want anything to do with it if it's about you or me. But brother, when it gets to where it's about Jesus, friend, the fire of God will burn for us. We're priests. According to the word of God, when you got born again, you was made a priest. You was made a holy servant of God. And you were given responsibilities. Now, I'm going to make it a little tough. Hopefully it'll get easier for you. But, hey, my responsibilities reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Amen. So it don't make any difference which way it hits you. God told me to do it all, son. I've got to do it. It ain't a choice I have. I've got to tell you the truth. You have a responsibility, you see, to keep the fire that's going in God's house. Amen. You might look around and say, well, New Providence Church ain't on fire. Or New Providence Church could be more on fire. I'll give you that one. And you might look at it and say, well, that's too much fire for me. But regardless of where you stand, friend, you've got a responsibility as the children of God to condition yourself in humbleness and receive the fire of God in you and then to bring it to the house of God. Because we have a responsibility to keep the fire burning and to never, never let it go out. Now the Bible said that them two young fellas, the sons of Aaron, they went and they just grabbed up their censers. I don't know if they got in a big way. But I'm afraid sometimes that's the way it is. You get a spiritual service. You get people that are really obeying God and experiencing the power of God. And you'll get some that'll jump up just because they get moved by it. They may want to be a part of it. Amen. Just because it's burning. But may I say to you today, be careful about that. What Aaron's boys did was they got all wrapped up in what God was doing. God seen the burnt offerings. God seen the sacrifice. God seen the altar. And the Bible said that God came down and from God came His fire. And brother, when He put His fire on that altar, it snuffed out the old fire. It got rid of the old. You know, a big fire gets rid of a little fire. Steals its oxygen. Makes it ineffective and then unnecessary. Before God came down that day, all they had was an ordinary fire. All they had was a fire of man. But brother, when God moved on the scene that day in the tabernacle of Christ, brother, He brought His fire. Amen. But He gave them a responsibility to keep the fire forever. To keep it. He said, don't let it go out. Jewish custom tells us that they kept that fire from that day in the wilderness to the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the fire and the tabernacle and the temple and everything. Say, really? Well, that's what they say. Jewish custom says they keep the fire. It never went out for 800 years. It was a perpetual fire. Every morning they had an offering of a lamb. Every evening they had an offering of a lamb. Every day they had to offer sacrifices on that altar. Every day there was somebody whose specific responsibility was to get the wood and get it to the altar of God to make sure that the holy fire was there. Listen, when God sets you on fire for him, you are on fire from heaven. You are on fire from something that didn't come from man. It didn't come from the preacher. It didn't come from the world. But it came from a holy place. And brother, when he set up abode in me, I have to think like it's Jeremiah said, when I tried to hush about it, I couldn't, because the word of God was like a fire shut up in my bones. Listen, God is a consuming fire, the Bible said, and friend, he moves in fire yet today. It's compelling to all of us, the fire of God. And yet be careful, because if you bring strange fire in, God takes offense to it. You see, God knows the difference between strange fire and holy fire. Some of you saying, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, if it's of you, God ain't interested. Because he done sent the fire, and he didn't need you to start it. He sent the fire. You've got a fire in you today, and you have a responsibility to see that the fire of God never goes out in his house. We have a responsibility. I don't know how long the Lord will tarry. Well, not tarry. I don't know how long it'll be before Christ comes. But I'll tell you this much. I have a responsibility to make certain that until he does, the doors of this place stay open, the lights stay on, but more than that, the fire of God is present in this place. Amen. It makes people uncomfortable. That's all right. The word of God wasn't meant to make you comfortable. Amen. If it was, it'd have been a pillow. But the Bible said it's a sword. Friend, it's a fire, and it's like a hammer that crushes rock. I thank God that it made me uncomfortable. It told me I was a sinner, and it told me how to get out of that sin. Friend, the fire today can save you if you'll let it. Amen. Is there enough fire in here to save? Is there enough fire in this place to see sinners moved when they come in the midst of it? Is there enough fire in this place, Alfred, that when a lost person steps in the building, they're automatically uncomfortable? Amen. They're automatically exposed. There is some kind of light shining into their heart. Let me tell you something right now. I have a responsibility to keep the fire going, but I ain't on my own here. Amen. Every one of you that claim to be born again believers of Jesus Christ have a responsibility to help me keep this fire going. Amen. That means you're going to have to cut some wood. You're going to have to tote some wood. You're going to have to be a help as it pertains to the house of God, because it is important that the fire of God remain here so that others can be moved by the offerings. We need to see the fire of God in this place. Witness the power of God among us to save and to the uttermost. A fire. I've got a responsibility to keep the fire. I'm a priest, you see. But you are too. Every born again believer is a priest unto God, a holy priesthood, chosen of God, and your purpose, Emily, is to keep the fire. Amen. You got to keep it. Now, I'm not going to pick on any one person, but I'll tell you right this, there's probably some sitting among us that just ain't really into it this morning. Well, you need to thank God somebody else is working on the fire for you. Amen, amen, amen. There'd been many a time I come in here and felt so low. Amen, didn't know what to do next. And because somebody had been praying, somebody cared, somebody was working, somebody was doing their job and wasn't sitting down on it, they assumed the responsibility of the priest, and they had fueled the fire in their heart, and they had brought it to the house of God because they were obedient unto God. I got help that day because I got near enough the fire that somebody else helped build. We need to keep the fire going today. Amen. Listen, you need the fire. Amen. The cold and the frozen of this world are dropping off into hell's fire. I'll tell you right, I'll encourage you, friend, to cozy up to this one. It won't be the condemnation you think it is. Right? That's what most of the lost of the world think about Christ anyway. Amen. He just condemns everything. He's just against everything. Let me tell you something. God has done everything in this world to save you from that pit, from that awful torment, from that fire that never goes out, which is the punishment for him that God started. You can mark my words there. God made that fire, and it'll never go out in hell. And friend, you're going there if you die lost today. But thank God for that day. Somebody brought me to the house of God. Amen. You don't have to be saved in church. I get that. Thank God. Some of you need to raise your hand and say, thank God you don't have to be at church. Amen. Amen. You can get saved anywhere. But I'll tell you right now, you won't get saved without the Holy Ghost of God. You won't get saved without the Holy Ghost of God. You say, preacher, is the Holy Ghost of God fire? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible said in Acts chapter number 2. When they had gathered in that upper room, they had stayed there for a week, just as God said for them to do. Listen, obedience unto God is where it starts. Amen. They done what the Lord said for them to do. And as they waited in that upper room, and they prayed and they sang. Friend, there was a day, the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that the Holy Ghost fire moved into that place. Bible said they heard him coming. Amen. I wish to God it'd get that big in this place where we'd just hear him coming. Hey, hang on. He's almost here. The Bible said they were sitting in that upper room and they could hear it. It's like the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And son, it came through the windows, and the scripture said it set up on them like cloven tongues of fire. Fire. I'm telling you right now, fire has the ability to purify, has the ability to sanctify. And brother, it'll get you moving. Amen. When you get a little fire around, hey, yeah. You ever stepped into, we used to fire. That made me think when I was young. Dad tried to burn them fields off and ended up starting a forest fire every time he did. And amen, when it'd get out of control, he'd call us, and all three of us would be out there stomping around, trying to get that fire out before it got back to the man. Hey, I'm glad to say to you, friend, when it comes to fire, it'll get you moving. It'll get you moving. If all people need religion, listen, don't come here. Because we done heard it. We've got testimonies among us that tell you religion will make you sick enough to die. What we need is something that'll make us move. And friend, as the people of God today, we have a responsibility to keep the fire going in the house of God. We have a responsibility, and we have to do our part. Now, I don't know who you are, and I ain't able to say it clearly, but I can say this. There's a lot of times that when we come and we experience the power and the fire of God, that it was because there was just a handful of people was obedient. Now, I wonder what would happen if the whole house got obedient. Huh? One mind and one accord, that's what they were in the upper room. And it was cloven tongues of fire. They started speaking in languages they didn't know. They were speaking to men who had come from other countries. They didn't know those languages, but they was able to preach to them. You say, how'd that happen? Fire. Holy Ghost fire. Brother, he knows what you don't know. He can do what you can't do. And it is important for you and I to assume the responsibility of the fire makers and to keep what God has started going. Now, it ultimately ain't all on you. Thank God for that. Amen. Because every one of us find ourselves in places every day where we're so down, we don't know what to do next. But thank God for the truth that if we'll just start praying and seeking God in His Word, it ain't long till the fire just gets burning back up. Amen. Starts moving again in you. Listen, I want people to be saved. I want people to recognize that it ain't His will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But mark my words today, it won't come from a preacher. It won't come from a deacon. It won't come from a people. But brother, if those preachers and deacons and people will keep throwing the fire some wood, it'll get big enough to save somebody. It can save still. It can save. We're priests unto God. You say, preacher, I can't do it all. I can't carry this church. Listen, I'm trying to compel all of us to become part of the process here. Everybody get right with God. And let's all make a conscious effort about keeping this fire burning in this place. You say it's important? Well, I've got grandkids, and there's a bunch of other little ones here. Amen. They ain't heard God yet. He ain't spoke to them yet. But I'll tell you right now, to God, it's my responsibility and yours and yours and yours to do everything in my power to create an environment of birthing, amen, where the fire is still burning. So on that day when God speaks to their little hearts, they will come to the fire and get saved. Let me reverse it on you. What happens when the fire goes out? What are they going to do? What are they going to do if the fire ain't burning? Where are you going to send them if there ain't no fire? You give me my three grandbabies and you give me the option to put them in a church where there's fire or a church where there's a children's program, and I'll tell you straight up, I want them where the fire is. Amen. There ain't enough programs in this world to save not one soul. And if all it is a program, it ain't going to work. If it's got fire, that's different. Amen. I don't care whether it's this church or the one down the road. They got to have fire. Amen. Well, so you understand the responsibility that it lays upon us as the priests of God to keep the fire. The right fire. Strange fire. He killed them too. He's like, time out. You mean God just, yep, with the fire. They're dead. They took him out and buried him. And old Moses looked at Darren. He said, you better pay attention. What just happened? Old Moses told Darren, he said, you better be careful how you respond to what God just did. He said, because them boys were acting in disobedience and they carried strange fire into a place of holy fire. And that's what will happen to you every time. If you get into a place where there's holy fire, friend, try to listen. The Bible said to grieve not the Holy Spirit, neither quench it. We need to be available, friend, as the hewers of the wood to work with the fire. Amen. Well, there's a responsibility to us, but there's also a responsibility that's been assumed by our high priest. Thanks be to God, Jesus is our high priest. Forever after the order of Melchizedek, with no beginning or no end, Jesus Christ is forevermore not only the sacrifice for the sinner, but he is the priest that offered it. He is the priest that carried his own blood unto the Father and offered it as the sacrifice for a sorry person like Greg Willis. For an unsavable person like Gracie, Jesus went to heaven and offered unto God his own blood as my high priest. And the Bible said that he sits at the right hand of the Father and he makes intercession for me. You say, is that the fire? I want you to know, friend, that when Jesus sent the fire to me, it was a fire that would never go out. Yeah, my high priest is tending the fire. I'm talking about this one. He's my priest. Now, I got a fire to tend to. In part, it's this one. But I want you to know that he tends this one. And he requires of me certain things that I have to deal with for my own fire. Let me give you an example. Let's just say that I was unwilling to obey God. God said, do something, and I was unwilling to do it. Make up all your excuses and your reasons. Amen. There ain't nothing before God. If he tells you to do something, it's the right thing to do. And I say to God, I'm not going to do it. Do you know my fire don't go out just because I disobey God? No. That when he put a fire in me, son, he put one in there, it wouldn't go out. And that's what he wants me to transfer to this place as we come together collectively and worship, is he wants that fire to spread and to grow and to burn as a group. But there was something he did in me that day that set on me a fire. But you know what? When I get out of fellowship of God, that thing can really get dim. Really get dim. And there's a place that you're going to have to do something. Or he'll do it. You know God can get you to the place you're ready to pray. Thank God for that. Amen. You'd probably still be lost if he couldn't. That's right. There's a bunch of you probably still be lost and headed to hell today if he couldn't get you into a place you was ready to pray. Amen. Thank God for that glad day. Amen. But he has the place to bring me to a position to where I admit I have let my fire go. And he'll put me in a place to where I'm ready to start getting that thing fired back up. Well, we have responsibilities. We have a high priest that helps us, so quit your belly aching. You ain't got no excuses. Amen. Oh, I need to do this. Just excuses. Reason you ain't serving God is because you don't want to serve God. Amen, amen. People do what they want to do. But if you'll open up your heart to God, and you'll join in with a bunch of these other folks and make your mind up that every time the doors are open, I'm going to come through there and I'm going to carry some fuel. I want to help build this fire in this place so that when a sinner comes in, they are disturbed by what's going on to the place that their heart opens and they begin to see Christ and then receive him. That's how people get saved. They don't do it on their own. God's got to save them. All right, let me finish with this. So we understand that there's a responsibility as those that keep the fire. God said to the priests, he said, you're to never let it go out. So how do I keep it going? How do I keep the fire going? Let me give you three things and we'll close. Number one, fire needs air. Right, Alfred? If you got a fire and it don't have oxygen, it ain't a fire. It won't burn. Because a necessity to fire is air. That's why they're so upset when we're burning if it's windy. Right? Because fire loves the wind. It gives it more power. Right? Makes it grow. Say, preacher, what can I do to bring more air to my fire? I'm talking about yours, Gat. I'm talking about what's in you. How are you going to get more air to the fire? Well, I would suggest to you today that it's less about getting more air to it than it is getting off all the things that are smothering it. For what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he said, quench not the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can quench a fire? Right? You take a heavy enough blanket and throw it on a fire, it'll put it out. Why? Because it stole all its air. Don't have no air. And if it don't have no air, it ain't a fire no more. It will go out. And some of you today are just barely burning. You're just flickering on the inside. Ain't nobody can see that light. No, it's buried with ash. But you know, if you get a... I remember when we used to burn a fire at the house. You'd come down there the next morning, and you know that fire's out. Yeah, right? You'd look at that stove and say, I'm going to have to build another fire. But you know what? You'd get in there with that little poker, right? First thing you do is open up that door. You open up that door, and you let all that air come in there, and you take that poker in there, and you get to poking around, and you say, what am I doing? You got to get the ashes off the fire. It's still there. It just needs some attention. It needs some air to it. You get in there and start poking around. I'd always take that little shovel and shovel out a bunch of them ashes. Right? They were smothering it. But you know what? Somehow or another, most of the time, there's a little ember or two in there. There's something still hot in there. It was still there. All it needed was a little something else. But you get a little air to it and you start getting off that stuff. Listen, some of your lives are being smothered out by sin. Amen. Amen. What's killing your fire is your life. Your decisions. Now you can think all you want to think, but if the Word of God has declared it so, it's sin. Amen. I don't care who you are. If it's me, if it's you, doesn't matter what it is. If God has declared it sin, it's still sin today. Amen. That'll smother. That'll quench. That'll just smother it right out if you ain't careful.
What's a fire need? Well, it needs air. Do you know I can't make the air do anything? There's an extent to where we can manufacture a little wind, right? They had them things for fires, you know, they called them bellows. And for those hot fires where they had to melt metal and do work with metal, they'd just force air into the fire. But that's manual effort. And you know that if your fire is totally reliant upon manual effort, at some point you lose your strength. Because if it's just about you, you'll wear out before it's over with. Now you can do some. But really all you got to do is just open the draft. Or open the door on that stove and just let it breathe. Or better than that, won't you just repent today? Won't you just repent? And get that old nasty cover off your fire that's a starving it out. Won't you just admit to God, I'm wrong and you're right and it always been that way. Would you help me get this off my fire today? Fire's got to have air. I'll suggest to you that you're quenching the fire today if it don't have air, because the air will come on its own. It'll come on its own. You got to man up and say, you know what? I'm the one smothering this thing. I'm the one living wrong. I'm the one living in a way that keeps this old fire down. Number two, fire needs air, but a fire also needs fuel. Fire needs fuel. Bible said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. There's a lot of times that we just neglect to put some more wood on the fire. We just neglect. It's our responsibility. Amen. We done been through that part. It's our responsibility, with God's help, with the Lord's help. Son, you need some good stuff on the fire, right? Get the bad stuff off. That's what he told the priest. He said, every morning, get the ashes off the fire. That was their responsibility. I suggest to you today that every day you're going to have to get the ashes off your fire. Get it to where it can get some air. Get the sin out of your life. Repent. Turn to God. But listen, when you've done that, your fire's got to have some fuel. Well, in this day, they burnt wood. They only burnt wood, by the way. Wood was the best burning fuel for them. Now, we may have come up with different ways, but God still says it's wood. And that's the only thing they were allowed to use, was wood. And so every morning they had to bring more wood. They were continuously cutting wood. Let me give you a test. Some of you'd leave here today, and Zach, if you'd spend at least 30 minutes a day, every day, in the Word of God, do you know your fire would get bigger? What you're telling me, preacher, is if I put more wood on the fire, it gets bigger? Well, you already knew that. And I ain't talking about a physical fire. I'm talking about a spiritual one. And the only thing that you're going to feed that spiritual fire is prayer, obedience, the Word of God, faith. Amen? Those things that are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fire of God digs that. Amen. When you go starting to putting them things of God on the fire, it'll blaze for you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have tried this. Pray. Seek the face of God. Read His Word and then live by it. And you'll find out the fire starts really burning for you. You come into church the next Sunday and you say, Hey, I think I'd like to get in on that. There's something burning in me. And this cat up here, he's on fire. And that's just setting me up. I want to burn bigger. Well, you're going to have to deal with your sin first, but then you're going to have to start doing what God's told you to do. Some of you won't even come back to church tonight. Hey, like it or not like it, you need to deal with this stuff because it's hindering your fire. Your fire needs to burn. We're going to have to put fuel on it. Listen, I'll tell you right now, it blesses my soul to come to the house of God. Amen. It just, boy, it's like somebody throwing gas on the fire. Amen. It'll just blow up on you. Make you want to jump up and shout. The world thinks we're crazy, but that don't make no difference. It's real. It's real fire. It's on the inside. So you need air, which means you're going to have to get sin, quit smothering, quit quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. But you're also going to need to put some fuel on that fire. Prayer, the Word of God, church attendance. Amen. Sunday school. You'll learn things in the Word of God that will set you on fire. Amen, amen. You just got to open up yourself and start getting the fuel. You about starved your poor self to death. Ain't no wonder it can't burn. You won't give it what it needs. Well, lastly, come get a song, Gavin, if you would. Fire's got to have air. And the fire's got to have fuel. Stop neglecting the responsibility that you have, Randy, to fuel the fire. You say, preacher, I can't find no fuel. You lie. Don't tell me that. You got a Bible with you? Hold it up for me. That thing right there will fuel your fire till the day you die. It is an endless supply of wood. Endless supply of wood. You can chop in that thing 24/7 for the rest of your living days, and it will never run out of wood for your fire. Amen? How many of you picked up your Bible this week? Cut a little wood. Oh, that hurt. You shouldn't have said it that way. Listen, I'm trying to deal with the fire. We need some fire. You're going to have to get sin off of it, and you're going to have to get some fuel to it. But lastly, fire needs attention. Don't take your eye off of fire. That's a mistake. The rate in which it burns sometimes deceives us. You ever worry that people are going to burn out? You've heard the term, right? Somebody just go and they're doing and they're working and they're trying and all this, and you say, that fellow's going to burn out if he don't slow down. What are they talking about? It means they threw all the wood on there at one time and they just burning as hot as they can go. And the expectation is that an earthly fire ultimately will consume it quickly and it is gone. Right? So you don't feed the fire in your house like that. If you live by wood fire, you don't feed the fire. Right? Number one, it'll burn you out of the house. Right? You can't stay in there. But number two, you just burn up all your wood. When really what you need is a consistent attention of the fire. Sometimes you'll have to poke around with it, Mark. That's right. You got to get in there and do a little work where that fire is, where that fire was, where that coal is. But it needs attention. And the worst thing you can do as a Christian today is to take your eyes off the fire. Because it will go down on you. And you'll wake up in the morning to just ashes. You'll shake your head and you say, what happened to my life? What happened? All I've got is ashes to show. Don't give up. Give it some attention. You know it needs air, and you know it needs fuel, and you know what the fuel is. And you know why it can't get air, right? This is elementary, people. If you're confused today, it's because you don't want to believe God. It's that simple. But your fire needs some attention today. What I need to do? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, what he told him in Timothy was, he said, stir it up. He told him in 1 Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift. Okay? That's the importance of putting fuel on it. But when it comes to just giving attention to the fire, the Apostle Paul said, stir it up. Amen. To some extent, Scott, that's what my job is. Just, I got to get the poker out, and I just got to stir it up. And I'm going to try to stir it up in you, and try to stir it up in you, and try to stir it up in every person in the house. In hopes, Greg, that old ember that's in there, still hot, you wouldn't want to grab it. It's still able to start a fire. It's still able to move us today if we'll just give it some attention. Are you going to sit there today and not do anything? Are you going to sit there right now while the Holy Spirit's saying, I need to burn. You've got me covered up. You won't give me what God said to give me. You won't give me the fuel. I'm smothered with the sin you continue to live in and your unwillingness to repent and turn from it. I need you to give me some attention today. Would you do that? Would you come to Christ this morning? We're going to sing. If you'd stand, if you have a need of God this morning, He can help you. He can help you this morning, friend. He's helped everybody in this room over and over and over. He's helped get the fire going again many, many times. He'll get it burning in you. He'll get it burning for you this morning. You say, preacher, I'm cold. I'm cold toward God today. I can't feel His Holy Spirit like I did. Your fire needs some attention. What are you going to do? You'll bring it to God. He'll stir it up for you. He'll build it back for you. He'll help you today. As we sing, would you come?